So we're going to be going back to the end of Parshas Vayakhel. This is our final class on the book of Exodus. And next week in Meretz Hashem, we're going to be learning about the Haggadah on a daily basis. And we're going to learn about the special contribution that was made by the women. A very unusual contribution, as you'll see. So unusual that Moshe Rabbeinu was uncomfortable accepting it. Chapter 38. We're going to take a look at verse 8. So there was a number of different artifacts in the Beis HaMikdash. Most were made of gold. Some were made of copper. However, there was only one artifact. Only one piece of furniture, or one piece of machinery, mechanism, however you want to call it, that actually shone, that had a matte finish. The menorah had a matte finish. The ark, the cherubim were matte. Everything was matte. There was nothing that was shiny. There was one piece of Mishkan furniture made of precious metal that shone very brightly. And that was the laver, the key of a kano, the wash basin and its foundation. Now here we talk about it in verse 8, Vayas esa kior nechoshes. They made the kior, the wash basin, out of copper. Ves kano, and its stand, nechoshes. And here Rashi, the Chumash, tells us what it was made of. Bemareis hatzeves, Pesach. It was made of the mirrors that had been gathered, or mirrors that had been used for cosmetics, for coloring, which were gathered in front of the door, the opening to the Ohel Moed. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that, generally speaking, when it comes to jewelry or things which are female accoutrements, so gold is the metal of choice. The only thing that wasn't gold was the mirror. They didn't need the mirror, the makeup bags didn't need to be made of gold. That was made of copper. That was good enough. That was buffed to a fine finish. And it was different than everything else that the woman had brought. You see, everything else the woman had brought was, these were the pieces of jewelry that they had given, whereas here, they gave not a piece of jewelry, but that what was used to arrange the jewelry, or to, so that they were able to perform personal grooming. Interestingly enough, when we take a look in Rashi, we see that Rashi comments and he says the following: Bnei Yisrael hayu biyodan maris. The daughters of Israel had in their possession mirrors, shereyes behen, that they would use to see their reflection, kishehei miskashtes, when they would apply makeup, or when they would pretty themselves. Va'af oison le'ikvu milahavi le'nidves ha'mishkan. And it was these items too that they did not refrain from bringing to build Hashem's home. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's response? V'hoya meyes Moshe b'had. Moshe was put off by them. He didn't think this was appropriate. And the reason is, mipnei sh'asuyim li'etzahara. This is made in order to, if you will, incite the evil inclination. It is true that without an evil inclination, probably nobody would get married, and there would be no children, there would be no reality, no world. That could be. But nonetheless, it's still made for a Yetzirah. It's understood that it's not a debaucherous Yetzirah, that it's a Yetzirah or an evil inclination or selfish desire that is related to marriage and monogamy. Okay, but still, it's made for Yetzirah. So Moshe didn't want to take this. Now, as a rule, whatever people brought, Moshe took. You bring it, we take it. When it came to these mirrors, however, Moshe Rabbeinu gave pause. Amar le'akadosh baruch hu, so the Holy One, blessed be He, says to Moses, kabel, accept these. Ki elu chavivin olai min hakol. For in fact, it is this donation, this contribution, that's more dear to me, that I cherish more than everything else. That's kind of strange. You could say, take it. Just take it anyway. We'll figure out what to do with it. Here, instead of just take it, Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says, God said, Chavivin olai. These are most dear to me. How does that work? So Rashi says, Sha'al yedehem he'emidu hanoshim tzvois rabbis. It was via these mirrors that the women were able to establish large families, legions of the next generation of Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Kishahoyu ba'aleim yigeim b'avedas perech. When the husbands were totally worn out, exhausted from the backbreaking labor they were forced to perform. So their wives would go and see them out in the fields. And they would bring them food and drink. And they would try to take care of their husbands. And they would take these mirrors. You know, they would be like silly. They would like show themselves with their husband in the mirror. And they would, you know, engage in small talk that would kind of bring them around. This is like a biblical description of pillow talk or silly talk. I'm more prettier than you, whatever. And in this way, they would slowly arouse their husbands to a desire, I guess for lack of better terminology, what people call today lust. And so, the husbands would be piqued, and they would become interested, their carnal desire would be aroused, and they would end up being intimate. And there in Mitzrayim, they became pregnant, and there in Mitzrayim, they gave birth. It sounds like almost there in the field. Shenemar, as it says in the Song of Songs, a book which we know is written entirely in metaphoric terminology. That the Song of Songs, the book that Rabbi Akiva said, all books of Tanakh are holy. And the book of the Song of Songs is the holy of the holy. That it says there, Tachas ha-tapuach oirarticha, under the apple tree I roused you. So this is, so to speak, Maimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is God speaking to the Jewish people, that in the field under the apple tree I roused you. But really what's kind of references in euphemistic fashion is the story with the mirrors. Zehu Shanemar, this is the meaning over here. B'mareis ha-tzev'ois, this is the meaning of these mirrors, that the word tzev'ois is like a pun intended. So it comes from the word tzeva, or coloring or makeup, but also it's related to the idea of legions, that they establish legions or multitudes or throngs of the next generation of Jewish people. Rashi tells us, V'nasa ha-kir mehem, the wash basin was made of them. Shahu, why is the wash basin made of that? Shahu, Rashi says, which that wash basin would be used, losim shalom bin ishle ishte. The wash basin would be used to bring about peace, shalom in the home, peace in the marriage. How so? Blahashkes mimayim shebeteche, lemi shekinola bailov in nistra. Because the kir was used as a wash basin, the kir was also used for the purpose of the sota. So when there was a suspected situation of adultery, and we didn't know what really happened, and the marriage was on the rocks, and they'd come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'd have to find out, get to the bottom of the matter. And how would they get to the bottom of it? By drinking the potion of the sota, of the suspected adulteress, and the water that was used was taken from the kir. So the kir, which is made of the mirrors, the wash basin, yeah?
That they drank, really?
Yeah. So the wash basin that was made of those mirrors, which those mirrors were used to bring those husbands and wives together, which through which many, many multitudes were born, the next generation was born, that very same mirror was used in order to bring about peace between ish le ishtei, between husband and wife. The teidalacha. Rashi now adds the words and he says, you should know, I'll prove to you. Shehein Mares Mamesh, that we speak here of mirrors quite literally. This is not just like some euphemism or like a metaphor. No, this is actual mirrors. They brought actual make-a-bag mirrors. How do we know this? So Rashi says, Teidelucha. Shaharei Nemar, it says with regard to the amount of nechoshes, amount of copper that was donated. So it says that v'nechoshes ha-tenufa shivim kikar. The donated copper equaled 70 talents. Vayas bavigaymer, and they made with it, and so on and so forth. But the key of a kano is not mentioned amongst that which was fashioned from the bullion, from the copper that they had. So therefore, vakir vakane loy huskirusham, they are not mentioned there. Lamadata, this teaches us, this was not along taken with the rest of the copper that was donated. The rest of the copper that was used was melted down and used to fashion various things, from the outer altar to certain pillars and so on and so forth. However, on the Kiyar V'Kano, we used a special, a different kind of copper. A copper that wasn't taken and molten and then made into an artifact, but rather the copper that was special, unique, set aside from the Maris HaTzavos. This is the way Rabbi Tanchuma expounds, is darshans and expounds this. And the truth is, Rashi says, Unkla says it too. Unkla says, with regard to Maris HaTzavos, he says, Machazayet Nishaya. Which literally means, machazayat is mechazah, is an image of Nishaya, of the woman. And that's Targum Shomaris. That is the interpretation in Aramaic of a mirror. And here Rashi gives us an old French word which we should be familiar with. He says, miros, or miros, which is a mirror in English. V'chein matzinu b'Yishayo, we find also in the book of Isaiah in the third chapter, that it says amongst all the different things that were brought or the woman's artifacts, it says v'hagilyonim, and the gilyonim are interpreted as mechazayasa, and the mechazayasa there we know clearly is speaking about mirrors. So therefore, since Unkelus uses the word mechazayasa in the book of Isaiah to interpret the word mirrors, and since here he says mechazaya, so mechazaya and mechazayosa is the same thing, and therefore we know that this is actual mirrors. Asher tzavu, so Rashi says the word tzava comes from the term legion, or also to gather together. So it says the woman gathered all of these mirrors together, and lohavi linidvasam, in order to bring their nidava, in order to bring their commitment, their devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the obvious question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly take pause when it came to mirrors? After all, what's the difference in mirrors and the jewelry? And some of the jewelry was like body, I don't know, armor, but like body accoutrements, which, you know, one could argue was equally used for the opposite of, whatever, it's not like Beis Hamikdash material. It's used for Yetzer Hara also. What's the difference? So, one of the answers that's given, Oznayim Lotera says like this, he says, all the copper, all the precious metal that was brought, nothing retained its original form. It was all melted. And then it was kind of reconstituted. But the mirrors were not melted. They actually used, you could identify mirrors. It was not made of like a smooth, kind of round laver. But instead, it was comprised of the individual mirrors. And that's why it's shown. Everything else was matte. This actually had a fine finish because they took mirrors that had fine finish. So it was made like, you know, like many faces, so to speak, not round. That's how it was made. So it was obvious that the mirrors were still mirrors. They didn't lose their imagery of being mirrors. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was uncomfortable. Somehow he knew that these wouldn't be melted. They were the other metal was in a state of, wasn't a bullion state, but it was somehow understood that it would be melted down. As you see, Rashi clearly identifies, there's the copper that was brought for all the other things that were made. And then there's the copper of the mirrors.
But mirrors of glass format.
Mirror is not necessarily glass. In the ancient world, mirrors are made of copper. Polished copper. Polished copper, right. So that's the story of the mirrors. That's the story on a pshutish or mikra level. And we will conclude our study of Chumash Shemais, the book of Exodus, with a revealing sikha, talk of the Rebbe, where the Rebbe explains this whole business with the mirrors. What did Moshe Rabbeinu think? What did God say? And why didn't he get it to begin with? And really, the biggest question really we have to understand is God says, Elu chavivin olai. These are most cherished to me. Why are they most cherished? And also, Moses was so close to God. Moses was the closest human being could ever get to God. How is it that the ladies understood what he didn't understand? They knew that this was right, and he didn't see it until God came and told it to him. What happened? What was Moses thinking? As they say in the language of Gemara, B'tchila Mikasover, in the beginning, what was the question? What did you think? U'basayf Mikasover. And in the end, what's the rhyme and reason? What's the logic? What's the argument that goes both ways? This is the question.
Could they see themselves in the wash basins?
Could the priests see themselves in the wash basins? That's a good question. I would guess the answer would be yes.
So they would see themselves in
the... I guess the answer is yes. Yeah. Okay. So on page Shin Pei Gimel in the Biurim book, which we'll be studying for the last time this year, the Rebbe sets out Biur Oimek Tainase Shel Moshe, an understanding of the full depth of Moshe's complaint, what was the issue, and Chuvasei, and the answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was Moshe thinking? What did God say? Be'inyan ma'alos nevuas shel Moshe Rabbeinu, with regard to the virtue, the unique virtue, I should add, of the prophecy of Moses, whereas Moses' prophecy is spoken of in different terms and identified as separate, apart, and distinct from all of the other prophets of history. So the Gemara in Meseches Yevamos, page 49, says, quote, Kol ha-neviim nistaklu ba-aspeklaria she'enim me'ira. All of the different prophets could see through a glass, but a glass that wasn't translucent. They could see a reflection. They used the periscope, if you will. However, Moshe Rabbeinu Nistakel ba'aspeklaria hamira. Moshe Rabbeinu could see directly through this translucent glass. That's what the Gemara says. Kilomer. So what does this mean? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu ra es mahusu elikus. He saw the essence of divinity. Whatever that means. I don't know what it means to see the essence of divinity, but Moses could see the essence. He could see, so to speak, the subject itself. As somebody who looks through a glass. So, I mean, yeah, yes, there's glass in between, but you're seeing the object itself, or subject itself. The other prophets, like somebody who sees through a glass which is not translucent. Well, if the glass is not see-through, how do you see through it? Like what does that mean? So, obviously, this means a mirror. This means a mirror. And as you correctly started to say, mirror is glass. Yes, in today's day and age, a mirror is glass. And it's been glass for a very long time. Glass which is coated once upon a time with actual silver, in today's day and age with some spray paint. However, in the ancient world, they used polished copper. Fine. But when we talk in the Gemara, to use the metaphor of what Moshe Rabbeinu saw and what other prophets saw, we say that the other prophets were able to see, but not through a clear glass, so they were seeing a mirror image. They were seeing perhaps what you would call a periscope or a rear view mirror. So you're looking at glass, you're seeing something, but you're not seeing the object itself, you're seeing a reflection of the object. You have a question?
Like an interrogation room when you see.
No, interrogation room, the person who sees. It's one way glass. That you see through the glass, the other side doesn't see back.
Right.
We're talking about seeing something in a reflection. You're not seeing the thing itself. In the interrogation room, you're seeing through the glass. Here, you're not seeing through the glass. You're using the glass to be able to see, but it's like the difference between your windshield. You have this glass, you're seeing the front, you're seeing straight forward. What's going on behind you, you're seeing through the mirror. So Moshe Rabbeinu has tremendous clarity, tremendous vision. He's seeing the thing itself. He's not seeing a reflection. He's not in a submarine looking through some periscope, seeing a reflection of a reflection, which is still pretty good. It's still a pretty good image. He's seeing the thing itself. In truth, though, in each of the two methods, aspeklaria hameira, the translucent, the clear glass, and the aspeklaria she'eina meira, and the periscope paradigm, yesh maila al chaveri, each has a virtue. Each has a virtue. Now, this is a bit of a novelty, because simply stated, when we learn the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu saw straightforward. He saw the thing itself. The other prophets saw reflection. Couldn't see the thing itself. It's a metaphor, obviously, but this is what it means. And say, who is more virtuous? Which image is better? Who's really seeing? What do you mean? Of course, Moshe is seeing through the glass. If you ask the fans if they could watch the game through a glass, they want to sit there at a hockey game and watch through a glass, or they could sit in the back of the room and see through a mirror, what would they prefer? Obviously, sitting right there, see the glass. Obviously, it can't be not a glass. You get a puck in your head and you're dead. Okay, fine, so you need a glass, but at least a glass. I got a glass, you know, I'm seeing straight forward. But here, the Rebbe, quoting the Alter Rebbe in Torah Ur, says, not necessarily so. You may have a greater peripheral vision when you're using the periscope paradigm, as we'll explain. In the translucent glass, the vision is actual. You're seeing the thing itself. Yeah, I mean, you're not seeing the thing itself. You're seeing it through a glass, but you are seeing the thing itself through the glass. On the other hand, your field of vision is somewhat limited. When you're looking through a glass, what can you see? Your field of vision is limited to whatever's in front of you. I can't see what's on the side. That's called a blind spot. I can't see what's behind me. It's behind me. I don't have eyes in the back of my head. So I can only see what's in front of me. I can't see what's behind. I can't see what's in the blind spots. However, when I have this aspeklaria, when I have this translucent glass, this glass which is no longer translucent because now it's been coated and now it serves as a mirror and it only gives me a reflection. But on the other hand, so I'm not seeing the thing itself, granted. However, it's leah davar atzmai. I'm just seeing a reflection. I'm not seeing the thing itself. True. Avle idr giso. Conversely, however, it's the rear view mirror that enables me to see. And here is the point. Zuhi eifoi mahusan shal maris atzvois. This was the mirrors now, pun intended, that the woman brought. It was bechinas aspeklaya sheinimira, even though it was metal, not glass, but it was like the glass of the mirror, like the coated glass. It was maris elu, it was these mirrors which seem to be talking about the reality that's behind. It seems to be dealing with the Yetzer Hara, dealing with incitement and sexual desire. It seems to be dealing with human lust. So it sounds like something which is not in the field of vision of holiness. It doesn't seem like it's in that, it's not on the radar, so to speak. It's not in the... This is not what you tend to think of when you naturally try to imagine or see an image of holiness. So miatzeges es ha yecholes lirais ulahachnes letchum shel likonis lekedusha. It represents the ability to see and to bring into tandem the field of scrimmage holiness. Gamash me'achar. It enables you to see what's behind, and when you're seeing what's behind, gamas advar panus. Even the things which seem to be mundane. But those ordinary mundane things, those things seem to be behind you in the metaphoric sense, not part of Avodas Hashem, not naturally reflective of the intuitive acts of serving God, but nonetheless, ultimately, v'shachanti b'seichem, God dwelling amongst them means to dwell amongst all of them, all of you, including the things which are, well, not organically thought of as holiness. So even those things, sheyiskayim behem v'shechanti b'seichem, that the v'shechanti b'seichem should unfold, that there should be, lasasli yisbarach dido b'tachtonim, that God should have a dwelling place, and the word that's used for God's dwelling place is tachtonim, the lowest common denominator. That's where we see the real accomplishment, the achievement, the real virtue of the dira is b'tachtonim, in the lowest level, in the most mundane and ordinary realm of reality. And here's now what Moshe Rabbeinu's issue was. This is the reason that Moshe must be Maris Hill. This is the reason that Moshe was put off. He said, I don't know, this doesn't look right. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu Shoya Ba'atzmei Ka'omer Badagas Aspeklaria Hame'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu, whose vision is straightforward. Moshe Rabbeinu, who uses the translucent glass metaphor. Le'ratzav Aspeklaria Shedemira. He doesn't use mirrors. He doesn't use periscopes. He sees the thing itself. Why does a person use a periscope? Because they can't get to see the thing itself while you're submerged. It says the only way for you to be able to see what's going on outside the submarine is with a periscope. Why do you use a mirror to see what's going on behind you? Well, because it's behind you. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he had clarity of vision. And because he had this clarity, he was only interested, so to speak, in seeing what was directly reflective or directly a manifestation of God's presence. And Moshe Rabbeinu, because of that field of vision, the extraordinary field of vision that he had, he wanted that everything in the Mishkan should follow along that paradigm. All of it should be seen, felt, known through the paradigm of Aspaklaria Hamira, the translucent glass. In other words, Gili HaMahusu Elikus, the revelation of, if you will, the essence of godliness, of divinity. But if you only want to have a straightforward vision, if you only want to see what's in your right in front of you, you know you're going to have to forget about what's behind you. Which is, that's fine. That's fine. We don't need what's behind us is behind us. Now, we can see it straight. This can be a direct image of divinity itself. We can see godliness, and that's all we're really interested in. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, Moshe, you're mistaken. That is the level of your prophecy, and it is extraordinary. However, you should know that these things which are behind your vision, chaviv and olayim and akel, they're even more dear to me. Meaning, tachlis shel mishkan, the ultimate purpose of a mishkan, is shetiyah b'davka b'chinas aspeklaria she'ena me'ira. The ultimate expression, or the perfection or fruition of the mishkan, is a mishkan that can fully reflect all of reality, and so to speak, bring it into holiness. Dafke, the bechina, dafke, the dimension of aspeklaria, she'ene me'ira. It's the paradigm of the glass which is not translucent, but merely reflective. She'tuchlo gamas hadvarim hanachusim she'elam. That includes also the things which are of a lowly nature, of a mundane reality. Those too should be brought into the service of Hashem. Va'af es elu asuyim li'etzahara. Even though these are made for the lowest ebb of the human condition. Nonetheless, dafke b'tachtayim elu. It's in this lowest reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's where I want to dwell. And kasher mishtamshim dafke b'dvarim tachtayim. When you use these lowly or seeming, let's say, most mundane elements of reality, letzarche kedusha, when you harness and channel that in a holy fashion, so kashem shemaras hatzvois shimshu kedei lahamed tzvois rabbis b'mitzrayim, just as these mirrors served in a very literal and carnal fashion to establish legions in Egypt, zehu adavar hachoviv laKadosh Baruch Hu ma'akel, so too this becomes the most precious before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says in your rearview mirror, things are closer than they appear. Closer. You think it's far away. Think again. It's closer than they appear. Even the things which seem to me mundane and ordinary are extremely close. They're within reach. We have the ability to harness them and to utilize them for the Dida Le'izbarach, for the dwelling place of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And with that message, we conclude our study of Sefer Shmos. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us that we should finally see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, God's presence revealed on every level with the coming of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash. Amen.